Hey, I just saw on Instagram that you just got back from New York City. Is that right?
Yes, just came back from New York to last week. Spent 4.5 days in New York during New York Fashion Week during in the September 11th 16th anniversary. So it was surreal and also. No, it was just surreal, just to say the least. I only accomplished about 10% of what I wanted to do there. The rest of the time was recovering from the previous night before. But I did have a chance to try DeFaro's pizza, which my friends went to Brooklyn and waited 2.5 hours for.
Oh,
and
goodness.
And they brought me back the pizza while I was still recovering. And it was still one of the best pizzas I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, besides the pizza, I swear there's something in the water because the bagels are also on a whole nother level. Noah's.
There's like two or three places in town to get a bagel here.
Where do you go?
There's Noah's, and then there's an East Sacramento bagel spot, and there's another one in Loman's Plaza.
Oh, the Bagel Time. I think the one that's the one, and yeah. It just closed. I just
okay,
read,
so we're down to two places in Sacramento to get a bagel.
But
that's crazy.
One of my clients, same. I love bagels. One of my clients is building Solomon's Cafe, named after, or is actually one of the partial owners is the guy who created Tower Records.
Oh, wow.
So on K Street, 700 block, right across the street from the stadium, there's going to be a Solomon's Delicatessen, and that's opening soon.
Okay. Okay. And where is that going to be? It's on K Street across
K and 7th. Across from the stadium, right in front. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a whole new development there that that's who we went to New York with, the bachelor party. That's his projects that he's working on right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we have a bunch of new restaurants. One of them is Billy Crew's new concept called Budai. There's going to be another Insight Coffee. And then there's one location left needed for a tenant, and that's the Rooftop Lounge.
Oh,
and that will
cool.
be literally right there on K7th, looking over the alleyway, looking at the stadium. It's going to be
very cool.
Whoever lucky tenant to go in there will be a pretty awesome spot.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, do me a favor. Just make sure you keep talking right into the mic like you were just 1 second ago.
Got it.
Awesome, awesome. You know what? You were talking about traveling just 1 second ago, and I thought that was so interesting because, you know, Haley and I – by the way, Haley and I are getting married.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah.
I didn't get the Evite.
You know, it was kind of a
last
I hate to say last minute because my
congrats, Haley.
My mom was like, "Why is it so last minute? What, is she pregnant?" I was like, "No, mom. Like we've been talking about it for a while and we're ready to do it." We're literally at another friend's wedding.
Yeah.
And we're just talking to ourselves. We're like, "You know, we've been talking about this forever." Fuck. You know? Do you want to just do it? And she's like, yeah, let's just do it. So the rule is in San Diego County, if you got less than 20 people, you don't need a permit.
Really?
So we're just going to do a small thing for family in San Diego.
Nice.
Her family's going to fly down. My family's going to be there.
Keep it chill.
Yeah, we're all going to, you know, maybe do a thing afterwards or a small reception or something for family afterwards. And then we're going to throw a party here in town for our friends.
Oh, perfect.
So, you know.
Like I got David
so Busters. Yeah, you'll get the email.
Okay, I'll be there.
Well, you know, we'll have to talk to you about venues because you're Mr. Sacramento, right?
Lowercase s, but yeah.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's plenty of venues. Cool. One of those things I just came to mind was the bank, which is...
Dude, we just sent a note over to the bank. It's like, hey, are you guys going to be open?
Not sure. We're still just figuring out as of today, whatever the date is today. We're figuring out the next level of construction and then therefore figuring out when we plan to open.
Got it.
But
got it.
Upstairs at the top, a lot of people, when you drive down 6J Street and you see this monolithic bank.
It's gorgeous if you really stop and look at it.
Right. The very top, you'll see this curved atrium greenhouse thing. And I was grateful and lucky enough to have them as a client and go upstairs and see this beautiful, like, outdoor garden scenario. It looks like Jurassic Park. It looked like Great Gatsby on this place. That's what I always keep comparing it to, like a Great Gatsby type venue. But that upstairs area will be available for rentals for special events.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So I'll fill you guys in.
Maybe you'll have to help us get the inside track on that so we can have a party for our friends. But yeah, you know, my cousin is my age. She's 30. And she's hosting a thing in Cancun for a 10-year renewal of her vows.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And that seems like a lot more appropriate thing, I think, for a young upstart couple to hold off on the big ceremony, on the big blockbuster bank breaking ceremony until we do the 10-year vow renewal.
I can see that.
When we, you know, when we make it big time, we'll do the big ceremony.
Otherwise,
we're just going to keep it to family and friends, you know?
No, I get that.
So,
and we have something similar like that in the restaurant industry where we don't really have a grand opening until after the soft opening. So it's kind of like that. You know, just let's fill out the waters. Let's see. We adjust the prices and then boom, let's go big with the grand opening. It's rarely the first freaking day we open that it is that we just go all out.
Because that's a lot of pressure.
A lot of screw ups. A lot of things can happen. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I heard owning a restaurant is like throwing a party every day and hoping people come.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, it's very much the truth. And in my line of work, in the nightclub bar industry that I am, it's very much that, literally. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit of everything that you do. Introduce Visual West for us and any other endeavors that you work on as well.
Sure. Visual West was something I created when I was, I want to say, a sophomore year in Sac State. I was working at the school newspaper drawing the comic strips, and one day I screwed up, and this is like back in 2003 or so, 4 or 5, around that time, and it was Photoshop 5.5 for all you designers out there, and I screwed up on my drawing, and I was like, I'm going to want to draw this again, but the tech guys were like, hey, there's this thing called Photoshop, just scan it and watch what happens, and before I knew it, I was the creative director of the school newspaper, laying out the page newspaper in Quark. InDesign wasn't quite in there yet, but yeah, designed entirely out in Quark.
Quark?
Quark is I want to say it's still around, but it's a layout program. It's layout. It's for magazines and newspapers.
Okay.
But now, since then,
it's not what the more contemporary folks would use.
No, as in Quark, as in like science, like space quarks.
Oh wow.
No. Okay. This is just a layout program. Okay. Simple as that. Like And back then we had zip disks, and when we no longer the days are Dropbox and sending things to Google Mail or Drive, we had to drive zip disks. Each page was on a zip disk, and we had about average like 15 pages or 16 pages for the school newspaper that we pumped out once a month. But I owe it to the school State Hornet, Sac State Hornet, for paving the way of understanding deadlines, design, and the business aspect. We were still ultimately sold ads and had to make money, and we actually got paid. It was one of the few jobs at school besides working for, like, I don't know, like on campus, like at the library or something, where you can get paid and have a faculty permit. I was able to finagle my way to get a faculty permit when I heard parking still sucks at Sac State, but yeah, I was able to get a faculty pass, which was pretty awesome. So I could park anywhere I wanted. Yeah.
That's a huge deal.
It was worth this wait. I remember, I'm having a flashback now. I remember I was getting paid, I think, $300 a month. And I was, and back then.
Hey, that's something when you're in school.
Oh, yeah. Rent was like $1.50. So, and I lived on Howe at some ghetto place. And I remember the first day I moved out, it was on Howe and Hurley. And it's the place was Sterling Point. And moved in, and I hear pop, pop, pop.
I drive past that place all the time, because that's where my gym is, the 24 hour that I go to.
Yes, right there, right next to the field house. Anyways, I hear pop, pop, pop. I walk outside, and I see this guy carrying boxes of shoes that he just stolen from Famous Footwear, I think it was there.
Oh, my goodness.
And yeah, he held up the place. I was like, oh, I guess this is a way to be baptized to Sacramento. But yeah, so.
Yeah, it certainly changed.
So yeah, it was around back then, I forgot. It was called Ad Kitchen back then. It was I had AD for my initials and a kitchen, and then I had this business card where I would burn it on top of the stovetop to make it like a different aspect. So people go, okay, Ad Kitchen, and then the slogan was, "We keep your business cooking."
I like that.
That was so witty.
And so.
And then I ultimately ended up selling Ad Kitchen to a company called Dapper, which was later acquired by Yahoo. So I like to brag that I was bought out by Yahoo. They just bought the domain name. They didn't buy my business. They just bought the domain.
Got it.
With that money, I decided this because it's the biggest. I've never had so many 4 digits in my bank account. And I immediately went to Macy's and bought myself this Tag Heuer watch that I still have to this day.
Milestone.
Now, fast forward to today, I have Visual West. It's been going on for about 10 years and built this one-man agency, you can say. I take photos, do web, do design, do a little consulting now with 10 years experience of opening up bars and restaurants in Sacramento. I've turned that to consulting.
Okay. So,
advising clients on not to do what or do what works and what hasn't.
So what does that process look like on the bar and restaurant opening? If you have a client who says, you know what, I'm maybe from the Bay Area or I'm from somewhere else, but I'd like to open up a bar here in town, they'd retain your services.
Mm-hmm.
And you help see them through the whole process, the promotional aspects, or how does everything. That work?
From the dream, I start with them. From the idea of, it usually starts with the name. I always tell them, what's the name going to be? And immediately I have the app of GoDaddy and I go to see if the name is available. And we'll see how many people out there have it. So if you wanted to call it, I don't know, Crowbar. Cool. Crowbar is a cool name. We look up and it comes up like 15 different bars in California alone are named Crowbar. So we had to think outside the box if you wanted to differentiate.
The Crowbar.
That. Yeah. Yes. Variations
the
like
crow's
that.
Nest.
Crowbar and Grill. It can be variations. Crowbar 916. No, I've done it all. This is part of the consulting, you can say.
Interesting.
From there.
So you help take the concept from
a dream
to fantasy. Sort of like, we're going to help get your domain together. We're going to help reach out to establish social media networks.
Yes.
And other folks in the food and beverage and hospitality industry.
Yeah.
And sort of create a buzz around your opening.
Yes.
What's that process like of like creating a buzz?
The creating the buzz is kind of, I've been blessed and grateful enough to work with a bunch of entrepreneurs that have good ideas. It really sucks to build a shitty idea. And it's even more difficult to market a shitty idea and make a shitty idea look better. Anyways, so I've only had maybe a couple of restaurants that I started from scratch that failed miserably. And that was one of them was only because it was based out in Rockland. And we just couldn't go there every day like an entrepreneur should be going. If you're a business owner, you should be going to your location every day. And we couldn't. We relied on other people. And that was one of our biggest things is I recommend to clients, go to your business every day. Please be there every day for at least a month so you can feel it out. But the process of building hype and things like that is just having a good menu. And I've had clients where they've offered food that wasn't that attempt good. And right. We'd have to, and that's part of the consulting, I would have to literally go to their living family room and sit down with them in their kitchen and just eat all day. And she would shove food at me. And this was a concept called Taco, which is on T and 30th, T-A-K-O.
Okay.
It was a mix. I love that place. Yeah.
It's a I love that place.
Fusion place.
Yeah.
Owned by a lovely little Korean lady named Yoon. Sat down with her and she just
they
started
the Korean tacos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
delicious
great.
Korean tacos, quesadilla, kimchi, bulgogi, beef. It's just, yeah, it's this little historic gas station right there on T.
I was wondering where the architectural design came from because it's kind of like, it looks like it's like from the 40s or the 50s.
It's exactly
like that big bay window kind of from floor to ceiling with like the arching sort of. The balustrade, I think it is.
It looks straight out of a gas station from Andy Griffith's show, for sure.
Yeah.
And older historians have come by and given us copies of like 57 Chevys and stuff parked out in front. And okay. And because it's so historic, we've had issues of trying to figure out how to paint it and what kind of design. So I had to design a logo that was visible, but yet at the same time didn't take away from its overall and historic integrity, if that's the right word. So I designed.
You didn't want the logo to overshadow the.
Correct.
The natural design that was already there.
Correct.
Got it.
And so I designed a logo that's similar to like an oil company. That's like a Sprocket oil company. It's anyone driving down T.
Actually, so we'll, for folks that are listening, you'll have to tune in on either YouTube or Facebook if you want to check it out. And what we'll do during the segment is when you bring up a logo, we'll just pull it up on there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. So, check the square over there.
Yeah, it'll probably be like right here, like above me.
Cool. But yeah, so taco eating, and it's great eating, seeing what works on the menu. There it is. Tacos right there.
There we go. Hmm. Yeah, you know, it is kind of evocative of like a... like an old gas station, mm-hmm, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'd not seen that until you'd pointed that out.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were pretty much only given a circle design from the Historic Society or something like that. So,
so the Historic Society
are very much, yeah.
They told you what you can and can't do.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know there was that type
of restriction. I never knew they had this much power until I worked with them again recently with Burgers and Brew West Sacramento. And we're still going through some discrepancies on how we want the side blade that goes up and down and says Burgers and Brew, how they now want it moved after we built it, after we've spent tens of thousands of dollars building it.
So it's installed.
So it's installed, and what people who are
in West Sac. And this is the Burgers and Brew in West Sac.
Correct. The one that's two stories tall, old fire station, historic building as well.
And so what's the issue?
The issue is that they just want to move it. They feel that it's looking back now, it's maybe not conducive to the firehouse theme, which I designed in mind to give honor to the firehouse.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, and so they're saying just maybe you can move it over a little bit.
They're saying that it's that simple and that easy, but it's going to cost tens of thousands. But that may, they've been having meetings lately, so who knows what kind of negotiations. Okay.
And you know what? You know, West Sacramento Historic Society, not to put you guys down, you all do incredible work. And any of you all are invited to jump on and give a counter view. Let me tell you, I've been in neighborhoods where there is no historic preservation, and you know, just to give the counterpoint, you kind of wish like, man, I wish we would have held on to some of these beautiful buildings from the past and sort of like, you know, preserve their luster for posterity. So, you know, it's an interesting case study, an impromptu one, since we didn't sort of prepare for this, but about sort of like the needs of businesses and sort of the overall desires of community sort of mm-hmm. kind of working mm-hmm. together, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe that's so, though. Mm-hmm.
So what's gonna happen? Are you guys going to move the sign or?
Yeah, I think I think it's still going in negotiation. They ultimately want to leave it there and don't want to spend any more money to rip it out and then put it back on. But we'll see.
Okay. Be sure to stay tuned for an update on the sign drama.
Yeah. Well, or just drive by and go, oh, yeah, the sign's not there anymore.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So what kind of projects are you working on nowadays?
Currently working with the bank.
That's right. We were talking about that earlier. Mm-hmm.
The bank is on 6th and J. Yeah, we were talking with the Great Gatsby thing. It's going to be a really cool concept. It's going to be a food hall similar to, I was just in New York, Chelsea Market. And similar to something closer would be Oxbow in Napa. And San Francisco would be the Ferry Building. So it'll be a concept similar to that, where it'd be multiple smaller eateries that people can go in and have a variety of different styles of foods, from Mama Kim's American cuisine to the guys from Park Winters are doing a Chinese fusion. I don't know if I should be saying this, but this is an exclusive. And then we're going to be Jason Pola Preservations just signed on. So he does the most delicious Bloody Mary mix, and it's won like second place to Grey Goose or something like that, nationwide contest.
Very cool.
So he does a bunch of fun things. So yeah, so we're going to have those. And then, so that one, hopefully soon by the end of the year, that would be open. And then, what else am I working on? I keep forgetting sometimes. There's a lot on my plane. I just work on it from job to job. Just helped a buddy do the branding for a chicken wing store restaurant called Fire Wings Inferno. The logo I'm actually really proud of. It's a chili that's incorporated into the chicken. I haven't uploaded it yet, so I'll send it to you.
Yeah, send it to me. We'll send it to me.
So people can see how you can see the progression, how it turned from a awkward looking rooster and then an awkward looking rooster with a chili, and then finally to what you'll see hopefully soon on screen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. How long does that process take for you?
It can take me from a day to a week. Normally, it's up to the clients who just need to sit and absorb the look. I always have a stipulation when I send a logo out. It's just to sit and absorb it. Don't pick one out just yet. Sleep on it and then ask friends your opinions on it. And from there, that could change from the first opinion you had on something. So, but yeah, and then comes revisions, and those are always the things that could help. Ultimately change the overall design when it comes to just the words and the fonts and the way that maybe when they finally open shop and they realize when they put the signage up that they only can use it's maybe a horizontal top strip mall signage and not something circular that they thought. And then we'd have to quickly change it for that.
Oh, wow.
So things could, yeah, it's all ultimately up to the, like, the very last detail or finalization of the logo is when the sign builders put it up, manufacturers the sign. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you ever, you know, I mean, I guess maybe have like a client where you and the client just aren't getting each other.
Oh, you get those.
What's that like?
It's interesting. I always want to make people happy and love my work. And sometimes when I do what I feel is one of my best work, and it turns out that they ultimately want something lackluster, I just have to grit and bear it and realize, I'll just take the paycheck on this one. But sometimes I'm lucky that I get to work with all my clients that are friends. And so I could talk to them on a real level and go, you're being an idiot. Don't do this. This is going to look like shit on t-shirts. It's going to look like shit on whatever. Don't, your little nuance that your little nephew or your aunt told you should add, ignore them. And trust right, me right. That that my over 10 years experience actually means something. And I'm trying to save you from future headache where you find out that that logo on a t-shirt looks like a penis and you had no idea prior to.
Just wait, you know what? Actually, you know, you can't make this stuff up. No. You can't make this stuff up. One of the pharmaceutical sales rep types, I'm not sure if it was a sales rep, probably not because Haley doesn't work directly with those types of people. I think she was at a conference. And one of these pharmaceutical rep types, you know, they're giving away gear. And, you know, I'll have to flash it on the screen. But they were giving away this, like, water bottle. And it was like these two, it was like this beaker. It was like this long beaker. With like these two sort of like it's like a long skinny beaker and then two like beakers that looked like circles.
Right.
And
that was very much purposeful. Whoever designed that.
Yeah, it was like
they know what they're doing.
It like, you know, and guys, this is not a crude show, but that design looked like a penis.
Yeah,
like without any doubt, that thing looked like
right.
A penis.
I mean, you know? Phallic, or what, was it? Hope it was for pharmacy, like Pfizer.
No, it was one that I'd not heard of.
Oh, okay.
You know, but I don't know if you saw the one with like Time Magazine. They did a thing on Trump, and they put the M right behind his head, so it looked like horns.
The horns.
Yeah,
correct.
You know,
and those are all purposeful too. I've designed my share of magazines in my time, and yeah, those are all laid out purposefully. Right, but one of my favorite penis subliminal jokes that's in Sacramento is this. I think the restaurant, it's called Good Chef. Or is it pizza? It's right across from the IMAX. There's a pizza place right across from the IMAX.
Is it
downtown.
Upper Crust?
Huh?
Upper Crust?
Yes, that's it. It's Upper Crust. Look at that logo and you'll go, what the sh-? And it's a chef hat and it has two bulges on the top. And then his face is the U. And that U looks like a, yeah, like
oh
a
my
phallic
goodness.
Image. It's hilarious. Wait, I want to say it's gone viral in its own way too among the design
world. Did they mean to do that?
I want to say... No, in this case, it's kind of like you've got to kind of look for it, but it's there once you see it. Kind of like my.
Is that like a mean-spirited designer?
No, yeah, I don't think it's like that. It's kind of like the FedEx logo. A lot of people don't know that
there's an arrow in there.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Once you see it, you just see it. And
right.
You see the this cock and balls on this Upper Crust Pizza logo.
Got it.
Yeah.
So you do have to be careful when you're designing something that it doesn't. You don't have some sort of, whether it be a phallic image or some sort of other like unfortunate interplay in the graphic and the text or something like
yes,
that.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
And that comes with experience.
I had an intern who is now one of my good buddies. He, I had him design a nightclub flyer for a event at Zoku. Then Zoku. Now it's, what is it now? I forget. Anyways, it's a crab bar. The party was called Explosion 2005 or something like that. And so he designed a cityscape in the background, a cool explosion, and really fun typography. And like, yeah, this is going to be a cool party. It's going to be explosive.
It's going to be popping.
And then he sent me the image. And I'm going, dude, look at the cityscape you put in the background. What is it? And he goes, well, I don't know. The Twin Towers in the background, you idiot. You used the New York skyline. You can't. Yeah. And called it Explosion.
Ouch.
Anyways, we laugh about it today.
Right, right.
I mean, not laugh about it. We just laugh
at it. No, but that's a very real mistake that can happen to somebody. He thinks he's just doing like a generic sort of, you know, jubilation skyline. And the skyline and
to
something like that.
To make it look cool and sexy.
And doesn't realize that he was...
That's exactly what happened.
What he ran into there.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So, well, you know, I had this question for you earlier, and I guess we're answering it now. What I planned on asking you was sort of, you know, with the saturation of graphic designers and photographers in the market, you know, and also the quick availability of, you know, template-based, you know, yeah, template-based design apps like Canva and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And Fiverr and smaller, cheaper.
Right, right. How do you continue to stay relevant? I mean, you've not only stayed, you've thrived, right? You've done work for some of the Sacramento's most prominent clients. How do you sort of set yourself apart in a saturated market like this?
It all comes back to that old cliche of it's not what you know, it's who you know, 100%. And becoming friends with the owners of these establishments. And they all know my sleep schedule, and they have very similar sleep schedules. And so we always... Yes, we either have meetings at 3 in the morning or at 1 p.m.
Yeah,
and it's been like this for the past 10 years. I've been doing this, but I can see, and this is a particular niche market that I just fell into that constantly needs designs and constantly needs new events to think up. And what I'm talking about is the nightclub world and the sports bar world. I can see how for other designers this can be difficult if they're just doing this from home and doing just normal clients, where you have to battle against these overseas cheap templates, Fiverr, and which undermines. But ultimately, I feel that I've had clients, and I encourage clients to go and try these. If you're even pondering it before going to me, then I would go do it and then see what you get back. And if it's awesome, cool. You just saved yourself some money. But ultimately, I'm ultimately guaranteed that you're going to come back with something that's garbage and I have to go and fix it, which has been the case. You know, they're not reachable and they're not in tune. I think that I'm with the market, that is. Like, I feel that my advantage to Sacramento market is that because I've been here since the wee dawn of every nightclub and bar. And so I've seen what works and I've seen what kind of a demographic that would appeal to, so I can accommodate those type of branding and looks and parties that we throw, themed parties that would be good for your crowd. So I think that weighs into all of that as well.
So your value proposition is precisely that you are local.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just know everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you're out of sight, you might be out of touch with what this market needs, with what the next new concept for entertainment and for sort of weaving that into a visual package
might
look like.
Yes, about probably 90% of my clients are in Sacramento. The other 10 were maybe just people that found me on the other 5% would be one in Connecticut, but he used to be the owner of Momo's and Harlow's. So he's used to my style and he likes when I helped him with Harlow's and Momo's before he sold it. And now he's opened a bar and Putt-Putt Green and restaurant in Connecticut, Hanford, Connecticut.
Oh, got it.
Called Tap Room 150. So if you guys are around in Connecticut, feel free to drop by. Apparently, there's a billboard that I designed them that's somewhere randomly there. And I always feel that it's still surreal to see something I designed on my 13-inch laptop and now is a 30-foot-tall billboard on the freeway. One of those things that's currently out right now is GrowBiz. It's one of my bigger clients. They're a hydroponic Home Depot for people that grow weed, basically what I say. But they have billboards. He constantly puts billboards out. And there's a couple you can see.
And those are your designs?
And those are all my designs, yes. Okay. I did the branding with them when it was just a three-man team. Designed the GrowBiz logo. And then now they have 11 stores with a bunch in Bay Area. And had to deal with all the branding with each one of their sections and build their Facebook pages and give them each a separate identity, but still tied in to the bigger name of GrowBiz. So that's pretty exciting to see one of my babies, I guess you can start from nothing 10 years ago to something that's pretty substantial now. And then,
as the client grows, so does the concept and the sort of creative requirements.
Absolutely. Right? And I owe a lot of that to Trevor Schultz and Bob Simpson and Randy Perigary. My first project from scratch was Bar West. I'm sure a few people, otherwise known as Bro West for some people out there. But that was one of the.
Do you think they embrace that?
I love it. I think it's hilarious that people, they call it that, and that's fine. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
If it doesn't fit your crowd, it doesn't fit your crowd, but it's still going. We're on our sixth year, I think. And it's pretty awesome. We started with Bar West with Trevor, and Trevor, I met in the nightclub industry. He was a bouncer at Blue Q when we met. And one day he came up to me and said, "Hey, can you help me design some flyers for an event?" And fast forward to today. Now he is co-owners of Vanguard, Bar West, El Rey, Marshall Match, Crawdads. What else is there? Did I say Social? Yeah. Those are a handful right there. And I help him do all the marketing and design with the team. So it's pretty cool just to see my clients just grow up like that. Their success is my success. And I really feel that that's one of my trade secrets to being successful at what you do.
That's so interesting. You know, I saw this article on LinkedIn the other day, and it said that there's, you know, for the first time, your researchers are starting to be able to actually quantify. And this was something that we kind of always knew, but we're never able to really quantify exactly. But they're starting to be able to actually quantify the value of people's social networks.
Hmm.
You know, like, it's definitely better financially for anybody, financially, socially, you know, mentally, to be well connected.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the first time, people are starting to realize that there's a real financial value to be, you know, to having a large social network,
like
who you're plugged into.
Yes. So you're saying like a Trevor Schultz would be like a 10 pointer, and then you just, the more points you get. And if you know me, it's maybe 2.5 points.
I'm like that. Negative points.
Okay. You know me, you can add a 0.5.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's kind of more along the lines like in your case, because you are networked in with the type of folks that are leaders in the food and beverage, hospitality, and entertainment industry here in Sacramento, that they know your work product, they know your availability and accessibility, they know your candor and your and your collegiality. They're more likely to work with you than someone that they do not know.
Yes.
And they're also assured that you sort of have your finger on the pulse of the trend and the desires of the Sacramento entertainment seeking, you know, sort of populace, and that there's a value in that.
Yeah,
basically, that there's a monetary value to that.
Absolutely. And on top of that, they also know that my sleep schedule is really screwed up. Like, I wake up at noon every day, and pretty much if a client needs me before noon, they're not going to reach me.
You're not going to get me.
I value my sleep tremendously. I think that's another secret to my...
Was that part of the creative process?
Oh,
the long nights?
Yes. I don't go to sleep.
The whiskey,
I don't sleep.
Whatever.
It used to be quit cigarettes. Whiskey is still in that stream. But yeah, no, I all my magic happens at before 4 p.m., 4 a.m. That's when I finally hit the sack. And even then, I'm still...
thinking in the back of your head.
Thinking in the background and decompressing. My little decompression technique is I just watch The Office, for instance. I love The Office. And just any movie that's on HBO, go. And I just start watching, even no matter how shitty it is, I just love watching that and figuring things out.
Got it. Can we, you know, continue to talk about the creative process? What I'd like to do is sort of bring up a couple of the examples on your portfolio.
Sure.
Maybe I'll describe them for folks that are listening.
Sure.
And then you can kind of walk us through what the client wanted, what your initial conceptualization was, kind of the back and forth and how you settled on the design. We did this for Taco already.
Yeah, you can check out The Bank. I wanted you to actually see that. I think I have it on there. Maybe not, because it's not my proudest one. But it's, I think, effective. No, I don't think it's on there.
You want me to pull it up?
I think it's just, you can just go to 629J, no wait, The Bank 629J, yeah.
The Bank Sacramento.
Yeah, I can just do that. Maybe it's, yeah, let's see. But the owner is a guy named James Cameron, and he owns that building. Yeah, that's it right there. It's, if you ever, yeah, you can go and see. It's simple.
Got it.
It's clean. The font is called Trajan. So if you want to make this, you can just simply download Trajan and write it out. But he gave me a little, I sat
and
down.
And you did this website here?
I did the website too. Okay. Just a clean one. We're going to revise it as more clients, tenants come in, and we're going to clean it up and make it more user.
Maybe a little space for each tenant or something like that.
Yes,
or...
exactly. We plan to do a little page, a little bio.
Got it.
But I sat down. Mind you, this is in the bank, up in his office, where I opened this door that's like 20 feet tall. You can go to the galleries and see what photos they have. And I walk in, and it's like something, like I said, out of Gatsby. I sit across the table, and he's sitting there, relaxed, chill, and crosses legs and goes, "So why should I pay you for 4 letters? I was like, "Oh my God, you're absolutely right. You shouldn't. 4 letters is so easy." But luckily, I was able to convince his team that I have more than just 4 letters to design. Right, I can do photography, right, as you can see on the site, in social media marketing, and simple things like searching for new tenants to come in, new exciting new tenants and things. But yeah, so that in this case, the process was cut and dry. They liked this font. It's very banky looking. And just simply wrote it out. Did some kerning. Kerning is the art of placing space between the letters so that it breathes. White space, you can say, is a real space. A first rule when I teach somebody about anything about design is understand that the white around the object is just as much as the space as the letter itself or the image that you use. So be in mind of how it flows, the white space flows, so that when you put it on something, say you put it on a building or you put it on a t-shirt or on, I don't know, vinyl sticker on a car or on a menu, you know that that has balance across the board with those types of designs.
Got it.
Yeah. You can see another logo and see another, the gallery.
Okay.
Let's see what else is there. Oh, go to Visual West. That's the bank.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, Ray was one. It was fun. It was a brushstroke one. It's one I had to hand draw.
This one here?
Mm-hmm. El Rey.
So for folks listening, what is this? What would you call this? A flyer?
This is just a mock ad.
Okay.
El Rey is located on K Street. K Street. It's owned by Bob Simpson, Trevor Schultz, and Kenny Thomas. And so they came at me and said, "All right, let's do something fun and very like this. This is not a new traditional Mexican restaurant. It has chairs that are bright and turquoise with patterns on it and designed for people to dance on top of." So that was the kind of party Mexican bar, I guess you can say. So I came up with this.
Yeah, I've been there a few times. It has like it turns into a nightclub after like 10 or something.
Yes,
right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun spot.
Yeah, it's a fun spot.
Yeah, good tacos, good fish tacos too.
Yes, good fish tacos.
Good fish tacos. And so this is like, can you describe to us what we have in the background and the image?
General? So this is just a mock ad I like to show a client to see what our future flyers were. During this stage, we weren't even built yet. It was just, we finalized on the logo, which you see. And then from there, I was like, all right, let's have fun with this and see what kind of style we want for future advertisements.
Okay.
So yeah, so it evolved from this guacamole fresh, you know, flavor restaurant to a more Dios Los Muertes way, more, I don't know, I guess you can say a sexier Mexican culture type thing. So less fresh Mex, more sexy Mex.
Okay.
That's the saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the background of this image, you have a burning sun, a tequila bottle, a couple of luchador masks, mm-hmm. Some cactus, lime, sombrero, sort of these... images that are evocative of this sort of, you know, Mexican Latino party culture, if you will.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
How do you just kind of just start doodling and kind of whatever happens, happens? Or how does that work for you?
The best way to start something is to see if someone else has done it already. So what I do is I put my feelers out there and I use this thing called Google and I just search what other relatively similar restaurants there are. So there's a couple restaurants in Scottsdale that has this particular style like this. And just looking at that style and their business model and what they do, pretty much make it our own. It's a lot easier to convince a client that something will work when it already works. When I show a design, like, look, this is the people that do this in Arizona and they're killing it. So they'll go, all right, let's do that. And then I hate like... mimicking existing design, but what I do is I just let it happen. Let them approve it. And by the fourth or fifth design I make for them, I usually will start imparting my style, our original, I guess, Sacramento flavor to it. So that when, I guess the only one who would ever care would be the design team of the place I gave, you know, homage to, and they'd go, oh, look at that. It looks cool. It's kind of similar to ours.
Well, but by then it's something uniquely your own. Then right? You've taken a template for inspiration, mm-hmm. ran it through your own owners, mm-hmm. further distilled it with your own artistic process,
yes.
and have created a product that our looks owners. And feels different.
Yeah.
I would say that's, I would think that's okay, no?
I think that's okay. Yeah. I think the only time I've never, knock on wood, never been, copyright infringed or anything, cease and desist letter, but my other designer friend has, and that's because he literally lifted a photo from their site and claimed it as his, and ouch. Ultimately got sued, and that was the end of his career in nightclub industry.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
All right, let's do another one real quick.
Sure. I did the pro bono one for the R Street. That was for a stop sign.
Where is this?
Right there. It says support four ways, 14th and 11th. So that's in front of Shady Lady. So
this is in front of Shady Lady?
Yeah. So that intersection is pretty crazy at night. So
that's not a four-way stop?
No. Now it is. Yeah, now it is because of our little...
Your little campaign?
Yeah, we can say. It's just showing people that people do care. We just created I created a simple design, used the empty spot in the R, and I put a stop sign and a bicycle below to create like this negative imagery.
Right, and to give a sense that people are walking and biking mm-hmm. through this.
And an R, because R is, it's growing tremendously now. And just made a simple Facebook page with this design. He had created a Facebook page already, and it was just a simple, you know, let's put a stop sign on our house. I was like, God, dude, we got to do this right. So I designed something, put it up there. A bunch of people followed it, blasted it. Other people followed it. People are in agreement that, yeah, I almost got clipped there, or I have been hit there. And then I can't believe
it wasn't a four-way stop.
You know, there's a couple places in Sacramento that needs to have stop signs, and it looks like we're slowly have to implement this type of propaganda again.
Right.
But this is one of the ones that where I love doing most, where it's community based. It's like, let's doing something like this that feels good to me, because I live right around the corner. I live on P and 16th, and this is right around the corner. And I go to Shady Lady a lot, and so things like this will. Maybe keep me alive. This is the first time a design will ever keep me alive.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what I see in this. What I really like about this is sort of the contrast between the negative open space in the white and then the sort of small little universe that you created within the R.
Mm.
Right? It almost looks like I'm looking through a tunnel, like there's something kind of like a dark and ominous world within that R, you know?
I can see that.
And to me, it's sort of evocative of the fact that is a dangerous place. Like, that is a dangerous intersection. Well, be careful, you know.
I did not see that, but now that you describe it that way, I can see it like that. Yeah. Like, you're looking down a tunnel that's shaped an R.
yeah. It draws the eye in very nicely.
Thank you.
Yeah, the format and the font's beautiful.
Yeah, just quick and clean. Probably took me about 15 minutes to do this. I had this vision already in my head. I always suggest to designers to sketch out your ideas, put it all down on paper, and there's something, you know, tactile about that. But now I have really short attention span, so I immediately go from my brain thought to Illustrator, and I design it in there.
Got it.
And if it's for free, screw it. I'm going to design whatever.
Let's take a look at this dumpster here.
Yes.
This is kind of, so this was like a wraparound that you designed, or
yes.
So for folks listening, this is a this was a wrap.
It's a wrap around a commercial dumpster that you see in the alleyways of any city. Okay. And it says
City of Trees on it with the trees are sort of.
Well, those are watercolors dripping out. I figure if you could design something on a trash bin, better incorporate some kind of aspect to hide. If, say, someone were to pour some crap and it would drip out, at least it'll look part of the art. That's my actual rationalization to that image.
Okay.
This was a alleyway beautification project that we teamed up with the owner of 16 Powerhouse, Bay Miri in DNS, along with Midtown Business Association. They found some money and like, let's put together this cool thing where we turn a normal, I think it's like, what is it? There's a term for the size, but whatever, this garbage can, and design something cool to it. So this was done 2 years ago and got us a lot of press. People loved it. The alleyway, we have future hopes of turning the alleyway into like an area where you can just, like San Francisco, where it's just, you walk down the sidewalk and you just see people singing, playing music and hanging and dancing out, dancing around.
Got it. Now, where is this alleyway?
This is in between Inside Coffee and Hot Italian. So right across from Fremont Park on 16th Street. My apartment conveniently looks down upon this, so I get to see every day. And then since then, we've done the other garbage bin on the other side.
Got it. With
an ode to Sacramento's love for bicycles and how it's a town that's bike friendly.
Got it. Yeah. So does it wrap all the way around the...
No, it just wraps the
around the front? The
1, 2, 3 faces. The back, we did not do.
Got it. Yeah. Even then though, so do you just create like a stretched out like rectangle and then have it print and then wrap, or are you sort of conscious that these are going to be on three different sides? So how does that work?
Yes. Pre-press is a whole nother idea. The pre-press is basically taking your idea and understanding that you have to work in these parameters, in this case, the sides of the garbage bin, and understand that the slots for the garbage truck that has to go in, you have to incorporate those ideas. So I luckily got to work with these rap guys out of Natomas, and we went through this together. I went downstairs and just kind of go, okay, don't print here. And luckily these guys they can do cars. They can do a dump garbage bin easily. Knowing that I was doing this garbage, I wanted it to spill out in beautiful colors rather than crud.
You want it to be kind of messy by design.
Yeah, exactly.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I like that.
And so now, like, people walk down the alley, they'll just, it's a little glance over it, and that's all I wanted.
Here's one that I liked. This is a movie poster? This is like a movie poster?
Mm-hmm.
24 Frames presents Mahjong, Loyalty, Corruption, Revenge.
Yeah.
This is really beautiful. This is really gorgeous.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about this?
This was a project that a local Sacramento producer was trying to make about the story of Shrimp Boy, the mobster guy who's tied into politics and stuff like that. And this is basically, he wrote a script, was going to have the actor Kung Lee play that the Vietnamese MMA, really short stint in MMA guy, and who's going to play the lead character. And so it's since, you know, I think it's stuck in movie hiatus, but it's there's he wrote a script for it, and who knows, it could be still be made. And since then, Shrimp Boy is now he legitimately is indicted or whatever. He's like in jail now.
I think he's in prison. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this movie was a biography, soft biography about that life. And so, yeah, he came at me. He's like, Mahjong. And I was like, all right, let me think of some ideas. So in this case, I found just some.
Were those sugar cubes or?
No, the tiles to the tiles. Game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And I so added.
That's what I know.
I didn't know anything about Mahjong too. I was like, frick, I'm going to study. And that's honestly my favorite thing about starting any project is just, all right, I know nothing about Mahjong. The more I know about it, the better the design it will be. So I just started a Wikipedia itch, started understanding it, watched YouTube videos of how they play it, and then find out the crucial elements that what make up Mahjong and basically these tiles do. And found these two tiles and then added the blood splatter as a nice little touch to signify the gangster aspect of Shrimp Boy's activities.
Got it.
Alleged, but or maybe.
Allegedly a gangster.
Right. Oh. Please don't go after me. But yeah, I love making movie posters. That's like a little thing I've just like imagining what the movie would be, but just through the movie poster itself.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Mm-hmm. I have a buddy, actually, a good friend of mine, Matt Mora. If you're out there, we need to catch up. It's been a little while. He was telling me one of the things that he finds difficult about being a graphic designer and an artist sort of commercially is that you sort of take this artistic notion that you have for yourself and you start monetizing it. And so you introduce deadlines into your art. And so you have this sort of sense that you're sort of drained mentally, perhaps emotionally, creatively, but you've got a design due tomorrow at 3. How does that work? Do you just have to work through it, or do you maybe step away for yourself? How does that work? Like having to be creative on a deadline.
I thrive on it, to be honest.
Really?
And that may be an advantage I may have, but to be honest, I think that for me, it's I thrive on it. I work best, and then coincidentally enough, a lot of my clients, I have not known real deadlines. They've always been up to the minute, and deadlines have been, we're opening tomorrow, we need a to-go menu, or we're opening, we screwed up on this format of a menu to signage, let's redo it.
Got
so
it.
It's just been part of this DNA of my niche I figured out with the bar restaurant industry. So I don't know any other way besides being down to the deadline.
Down for the cause.
I'll be honest, I take that back. The most recent client I worked with is Pokinoki, which is a poke bar that just opened up on Fair Oaks Boulevard next to Bandera. And we had a year out. We're like, all right, think of a name. So I was like, okay, what rhymes with Poki? I wrote Noki. Looked it up on GoDaddy to see if there was available, all available names. And then I was like, all right, let's figure out if Noki means anything. So I quickly wrote Noki, Japanese meaning, and it means spirit of. So it's spirit of the fish. So it worked out beautifully. And that was a year ago, and we just opened up 2 months ago. So I was able to have everything prepared, but I just had a meeting before this with them and had to figure out menu changes and items, and maybe certain items that didn't work out. And now we needed to change this week so that we can update the menu. And that ultimately, even as far as you want to plan out for a restaurant or a bar, you'll still have last minute stuff. And that's where I think my strengths lie, and my clients also know.
Landing the plane.
And that I'm up at 2 a.m. as they are, and they're like, let's change this, let's do this. And I go, okay, done.
Got it. Do you have a favorite piece in your portfolio?
It's whatever's current. I hate my old work, and everyone, every artist and every creative person will always say that. And
Jerry Seinfeld said something similar, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says, my favorite joke was my last one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agreed. Constant evolution. So the newest one is usually, the newest one would be Pokinoki. Seeing that signage built and the menus and people walking in and ordering and looking at your menu, hoping that you didn't misspell something, which I had, I want to tell them like, hey, this is happy hour. Make sure that notes, just watching them is kind of cool to see. I guess like having a kid and making them go out in public and seeing if they don't bite them, or do something stupid. You just hope that they're, behaved, I guess.
Right.
That's my word. I want my work to be behaved.
Yeah. Did you always know you were going to sort of go out on your own and do this for yourself? Or did you start like in-house for a firm or for a company?
No. Since day one, since 17 years old, I wanted to be a comic book artist. I just drew comic books all day, practiced every day, 4 hours a day, all from freshman year all the way up to sophomore year at Sac State. That's when I joined the school newspaper, and things changed dramatically. I think a lot of my creativity comes from me drawing comic books. Me, before putting a pencil on paper, it would visualize whatever superhero or whatever Wolverine would be doing, and I would figure that out. And so it comes like that when it comes to even letters. So I put down this Sagtown. I already know, this already is in my head. I know exactly what font's in my head, and now I just have to implement it. And then,
Thank you for this, by the way.
Yeah, of course. I like it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of compliments on it. This is my favorite one of your portfolio.
Thanks. It's a good one. Can't wait to buy the t-shirt.
Yeah, right. So do you have any advice for sort of folks looking to go into business for themselves, young entrepreneurs?
Yes. Just do it. Just do it. People talk about it.
You know who said the same thing was Haley's dad.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Rod, he's one of my heroes for sure.
Yeah.
Started with what he's had and look at today what he has.
Yeah. Yeah. But he said, my advice is, he thought to himself, he's like, my advice is just do it.
Yeah. A lot of people come up to me in the nightclub world, in the bar industry, and they're a little inebriated, but they're telling me like, I already have this idea. I'm going to open a grilled cheese store. Okay. I'm like, okay, good. If you fucking love grilled cheese that much, open the store. Good. And he's like, I think I'm going to name it this. I'm going to go, okay. And I look it up and I go, look, the name is available. Let's buy it right now. It's $15. What's there to lose? And then we start it. And that's usually the momentum. And I hear that a lot. And I buy a lot of domains on behalf of them because then I now own the name. And then now you can't go anywhere else except for me. That's my little trick. But I hear that a lot. And
that's slick, Andy.
It is. So it's just part of the trade. And then a lot of the times, just nothing comes from it. And that's fine.
People lose momentum or
everything in the world, whatever reason comes up. And that's why when I recommend to clients or when I interview for a client, when they think they're interviewing me, I'm actually kind of interviewing them to see if they're really into it. I've had clients that were not into it, and and I can't really work with someone who's not really into it. Because the energy that I have for your business, I want you to mirror that or reciprocate that. But if you're just lackluster or something where like, just go ahead and do it, then I lose all faith. And also that business will more likely not do well.
If
they're just not in it. So my tip to anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur is just start small, but do it and just let it evolve to hopefully what you want it to be, but while doing your normal 9-to-5. But then also on the other hand, you can also eliminate your job that you hate now and start right away. And I recommend both techniques. Just do it again.
Got it.
Nike copyright trademark.
So you said you've been in Sacramento for 15 years?
Yeah, around 15 years now.
15 years. How have you seen a change like in your own eyes?
There's a lot more things to do in the nightclub industry and bars. But overall, we're hitting like in puberty world, we're getting hair on our balls. We're getting places that we haven't seen before and we're kind of strange. And it's like, what? There's a new restaurant opening every day, pretty much every month at least, in Sacramento. And we're hitting that pre-pubescent stage where funky smells are coming out. But soon I feel that there's going to be another wave of, how do I say this? That some are not going to succeed. A lot of ideas are coming to Sacramento right now, and a few of them have to fail. It's just, I think it's hit a critical mass at this moment.
You know, they say life takes life.
Yeah.
You know, like even if you're a vegetarian, you're going to kill some worms and stuff as you consume,
yes.
As you pull the leaves and stuff and the lettuce out of the ground, right?
Yeah.
Well, fundamentally, life takes life.
Yes, I agree with that. Right. And a version of that is just the market will dictate what the demand is. But still, I want Sacramento to grow. And it's in its stage right now where we're growing tremendously with new residentials popping up, restaurants, bars. But is there enough people? I'm not sure. I always feel that just like that, was it Kevin Costner movie? If you build it, they will come. Fill the dreams. And like I've always say, like, don't underestimate the people of Dixon or don't underestimate the people of Auburn or Camino. They're going to come down and party in Sacramento. So we may not have a San Francisco vibe where everyone in San Francisco parties, where everyone, you know what I mean? They're all active within. We're a destination town currently and people are coming in. We're becoming a destination town.
My family just came to visit me for the weekend. They were like, my goodness, the last time we came to visit you was like 3 years ago. And even that, in that small short period of time, grown tremendously. Yeah. Now my sister's trying to figure out a way to buy a house up here.
Like, oh, absolutely.
Here, you know?
Yeah. It's, houses are going crazy right now. A few of my clients are real estate agents and they're telling me, this is pretty crazy.
You know what? Maybe you and I should get hooked up, on that note, because I'd like to have a real estate agent on to just give like an outlook of Sacramento real estate.
Oh yeah, I got the perfect guy.
Really?
Yeah, his name is Shelby Elias. He'll listen to this. He's a good kid.
Oh yeah.
He started his little business. Known him from Sac State.
Got it.
Yeah,
got
he's a good kid. I'll send information.
Very cool.
He has a lot to say.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're right at about an hour. Just wrapping things up here. Last question. I like to do this because you are a food industry. You're an industry guy. And this is about Sacramento. What's the last great thing you ate or drank that made, you know, here in town that made you be like, wow.
Oh, it has to be hands down at Mulvaney's. It's their pulled warm pulled mozzarella caprese, or is it just tomatoes? But it's one of the most amazing things I've ever had in any fine dine restaurant from New York to LA to San Francisco.
Wow.
So I highly recommend
it. That is high praise.
What's that?
That is high praise.
Is it high priced?
That's high praise.
Oh, yes. Absolutely high praise. Yeah. Mulvaney kills it. I love his restaurant. And yes, so go get it. And if you love mozzarella, you may need to order like a second helping because it's that delicious. I'm not kidding. I'm lactose intolerant, but I still am able to reap the what do you call it? The negative aspects just for the taste.
Awesome. Here's mine. You know, this isn't, you know, fine dining or fine cuisine, but I don't know. I'm a man of the people too. And, you know, it doesn't all have to be hoity toity. I just picked up some tacos at El Mirador on Fruit Ridge.
Oh,
It's right before Martin Luther King.
Okay.
It's on Fruit Ridge down below Martin Luther King. What happened was we were moving some of Haley's stuff, like some large appliances. We're getting rid of a bed. We're just like moving heavy furniture around. So I picked up some movers. And, you know, wrapping up towards the end of the workday. And I was like, well, you know, should maybe get these guys some lunch, you know?
Sure.
So they wanted tacos from El Mirador. I would have gone to Chanda's, but they wanted tacos from El Mirador. So I was like, okay, I'll find it and I'll go. They do authentic Mexican tacos. I did lunch for like four people for like under $30.
Oh, what?
Outstanding, just outstanding authentic Mexican street style tacos.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Great homemade guac, homemade pico de gallo. You know, here's my, you know, being Mexicano myself, here's one of my tests for an authentic, genuine Mexican place is if they have, you know, the three traditional waters. You've got
tamarindo,
horchata,
yes.
And Jamaica.
100%. Right? And those big barrel-looking plastic things.
Yeah, yeah. And they had them.
Or the ones that fountains out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they had them. The food was ready promptly. The staff was, you know, as hospitable as can be. So yeah, if you're in South Sac, if you happen to find yourself cruising down Fruit Ridge and you want some tacos, make sure to check out El Mirador. They have my highest possible recommendation. Where can folks get a hold of you, or check out some of your work online? Where can folks follow you?
You can go to visualwest.com. My email is visualwest@gmail.com. You can also see me on Facebook at facebook.com/visualwest. That's when I update more and more conducive to talking with clients. And you can follow me on Instagram at @andylikethis.
Right.
Where I post more of my Insta stories of silliness of Sacramento.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. There it is. We'll pop it up on the screen as well. Thank you for coming by. Guys,
Thank you.
Has been another episode of Sactown Talks. Thank you for listening. We're now available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Podcasts, and Dogcatcher. So anywhere you get your traditional podcast platforms as well. Thanks again.